What if I get a discount?
How are we doing, everybody? This is Jeff Hoke here with Kevin Perdios and Chris Henrique, or half of Chris Henrique right now. And this is Shorthanded Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast, now presented by Beyond the Monster. Yes, we are newly sponsored by Chris Henrique and his websites. So we will now be doing that. We will be dropping a new logo at the end of next week, too. Chris and his dog now. Exciting times here ahead, guys, as we wrap up season one of Shorthanded Takes here and get ready for season two that drops here in the next week or two. The Boston Bruins start puck drops on October 12th against the Washington Capitals on TNT. So that is exciting. It is amazing how fast this offseason has gone by and how stressful this offseason has been. But the good news is we're not the Celtics, but that's for another day and for another podcast. But with that being said, boys, how we been? It's been a little while.
We're good.
Chris got a dog. Chris got a dog. That's what happened to Chris.
We acquired another member to the team.
Yes.
There's another half member of the team. I'm dog sitting as well right now.
Oh, look at that. I got nothing for you guys. I'm sorry.
He's my girlfriend's dog, but when it's her dog, it turns into your dog.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, of course. Yeah. It's your property is my property. Yeah, your sweatshirt is now my sweatshirt. Well, you know how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. So luckily he's pretty chill.
I don't have to worry about that. I'm very thankful I don't have to worry about that. So that being said, as we wrap up season one here, a few things we do need to go over. Like I said, we are under new ownership as Chris Henrique has kindly taken us over to his Beyond the Monster Substack. So we will be on beyondthemonster.com now and also post about everything else, mostly Red Sox, but Celtics in there too. Chris, what's on Beyond the Monster that we can expect?
We got the Celtics. So there's a separate Substack, which is called Beneath the Banners, which we're trying. And then like we got obviously some Bruins, Patriots, there's a new football in general podcast that just came out called Pod Side Kick that you can also check out in addition to Obstructive Red Sox podcast and Sox Specs Red Sox podcast. So this is the fourth podcast.
So it's a lot going into it, a lot on this new website, Beyond the Monster. So make sure that is where you'll find all of our podcasts from here on out. Also, us, of course, is still on Spotify and Apple Music. New logo drops next Friday. Thank you to Jack Edwards for, you know, giving us a little hype video for that. That was a fantastic hype video. I wish we could have played the full 2 minutes on Twitter, but Twitter does not allow that.
And with on the Beyond the Monster account because I have Twitter Blue.
Ooh.
So I'll put the whole Jack Edwards one there, and I'll put it on the YouTube page as well.
Wow, you're fancy, man. You got Twitter Blue now up in here. Jesus.
Twitter Blue, yeah.
Damn. So that's all coming up in the next week or two. But we are wrap up the off season here. And what better way to wrap it up than with Zdeno Chara. Dropping that he will be retiring, and he retired a Boston Bruin, signing a 1-day contract and having a press conference with Don Sweeney and Cam Neely. So boys, what is our feeling on, you know, obviously overall that Zdeno Chara did retire a Bruin? Go to you, Kevin, first. Why not?
Yeah, I think it was the right thing to do. He was here for 15 years, something like that, you know, so he's here forever, you know, and I think it's finally the right move. To the ownership finally did one good thing, and is to allow him to retire at Bruin. You know, I'll stand by my take of, I think they should have brought him back to play a whole Bruin, but that's you know, neither here nor there. But I think it was it's the right move to make. It was glad to see it. Should be a fun night when they're going to retire his number. I think they already said he's the last one that's going to wear 33. So it's that rather than later that number's up in the rafters now. So that'll be a fun night to go to. Well, I'm sure everyone will be trying to be getting tickets for that, but I'll definitely be looking to go to that game.
What say you, it's, Chris? What's your take?
It's definitely warranted. You know, Chara really changed the kind of changed the landscape for Bruins hockey when he signed back in, 2006? You know what I mean? Like, he comes here, automatically signs at the time. Like, 5 years, $37.5 million doesn't sound like a lot of money in like, you know, this day and age, 16, 17 years later? But at the time, that was a massive contract. That was a massive deal that he signed. He got the C thrown on the sweater in addition to that. And, you know, for us who are younger, we didn't really get to appreciate Ray Bourque. You know what I mean? Like, Ray Bourque was that iconic Bruin for, I would say, like, our parents, right? So now Chara is like our Bourque. You know, he won here, something that Ray wasn't able to do. It's definitely fitting that 33 is going to go in the rafters. Like, I want teams to kind of slow it down with retiring players' numbers, but Zdeno Chara is a player that deserves his number to be retired. Bergeron, when we get to that point, he's another player that's going to need to be in the rafters as well. But no, I mean, it would have been nice if he would have finished his career with the Bees, right? Not going to the Islanders, playing with the Capitals, not in that order, but he definitely changed the culture in Boston, and it was needed. And it's really been a playoff style mentality ever since he got here.
And it's amazing how much, like you said, how much of an impact this guy has had, especially on that 2011 Cup team. And, you know, it played such a big role in, you know, being able to get them that cup finally, being the captain, let alone, you know, the other chances that they had to win the cup, just came up short of course. But just the impact that this man has had on the Boston Bruins, it's so well deserved. And I'm with you guys. I kind of wish he was, you know, one more year with the Bruins. He didn't have to be on the starting rotation, but, you know, just out there on the ice and, you know, just a fighting presence, which is something that this team doesn't have right now. But, you know, it's that being said, it's good to see Don Sweeney do something good for once in his life for this team. And that was, you know, give Zdeno Chara a 1-day contract and finally retire as a Boston Bruin. And so with that being said, we'll move on a little bit to the preseason here. A lot of good things coming out of preseason. It sounds like Marchand and McAvoy are ahead of schedule on their rehabs. They were out skating the other day on the ice. So they're still saying November, December, but they're ahead of schedule right now. Everything seems to be going well so far in the preseason, guys. It seems Beecher's playing well. Fabian Lysell, of course, is lighting it up in the preseason. Then we are really going to find out how it looks today. And or when we post this, it'd be on Saturday when they play the Flyers in their first preseason game. Kevin?
Yeah, I think we've said this probably at the end of last season too. The guys coming up, the Beechers, the Lysells, they really need to play a big role right away. You know, we kind of, our lack of depth is going to be a weakness. So you're really relying on these young guys to kind of step up to the challenge, especially with McAvoy being out for a period of time. Even if it is November, you know, it's still, they're missing games. So I think we're looking to how these young guys adjust and adapt to a new schedule, new level of play. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. So looking forward to it. I think this Lysel kid's legit. Beecher should be pretty good, but we'll see a big role if we want to be even sniffing the playoffs this year.
Now, Chris, it appears with Jim Montgomery as a new coach, he kind of comes in with a new attitude, you know, kind of, I think I read something. It's kind of an old school kind of dude because he, when they were doing penalty shots, I think DeBrusque clanked it off the post and he was the only one on the ice, but the rest of the team also had to run laps with him. So it's more of a team thing now. I'm not saying it wasn't before, but it appears that he's trying to focus more on, you know, the team aspect. And the biggest thing I took out of this is that he said that he wants to take more high percentage shots, which is music to our ears is as a Bruins fan, because in the past years, they have not been wanting to take those high percentage shots.
It's definitely, you can get the sense of just reading a lot of the players' comments that it's like a refreshing environment for some of these guys with having Montgomery, maybe more of the younger guys. I'm starting to think that maybe listening to some of the guys in Boston Sports Talk Radio, that they weren't overreacting in regards to oh my God, why am I drawing a blank?
Cassidy?
Bruce last Cassidy? Bruins coach. Why
Bruce,
is this happening?
Bruce Cassidy.
This is preseason. Thank you.
Good God.
With Cassidy, rather. Oh, right?
You mean the head coach of the team that's going to win the Stanley Cup this year? Is that the guy you're talking about?
Good.
No, very well. Good.
But, you know, like for like Brandon Carlo, right? Brandon Carlo is, you know, is our he had an article in The Athletic just kind of basically talking about how much happier that he is and the team is with Montgomery versus with Cassidy. As for taking the higher percentage shots, I think it's something that's been long overdue. The Bruins just wasn't part of their MO. So hopefully this new style of play will be a little more exciting at times. And, you know, I definitely feel better too about where the roster is than where we were a few months, because obviously we knew Marchand was out. We had all these with all these injuries. And we talked a little about whether or not, you know, some of these kids are going to have to maybe play. And I wasn't really comfortable with having the Lysels and of the world playing without having this veteran leadership around them. Now I'm okay with it. Like if the Bruins, if, you know, want to add one of these guys to the roster to begin the season, I'm okay with Bees doing that now, because they got Bergeron, you got Krejci back. You have a veteran core of players that these guys can be comfortable with. I feel a little more optimistic about where this Bruins team could go and what they might be able to do this year.
Just a heads up, Red Sox are on behind me. Aaron Judge just struck out on three pitches from Nick Pivetta in his first at bat. So
it's a shame that he's struggling right now, isn't it?
Chasing 61 is still up there. Well, Albert Pujols has already hit 700 in two at bats yesterday. So let's talk about the PTO that they signed for a second. I haven't really heard of him. Strawman. He's 36 years old. You two know anything about him? Kevin, anything? Chris, anything?
No, to be honest, no. I haven't really heard of this guy, but on the surface, it just sounds like another veteran presence for these young guys. You know, they know that there's going to be a lot of young influence on this team. So bringing in a guy that's been around the league for a little bit of time probably doesn't hurt. I doubt, you know, he might be a fourth line guy. I have no idea. I don't really know anything about him, but just sounds like on the surface, it's taking a flyer on a guy that could serve as a veteran presence to Lysel, Beecher, you name it.
So,
this is the seventh team that he played for. So if he ends up making the Bruins roster, this would be the seventh team that Strawman would have played for in his career. He's just coming off of a 3-year deal with the Coyotes, not a deal that he signed with. He's actually signed with the Panthers, but then he got traded to the Coyotes.
Yeah, no one ever signs a 3-year deal with the Coyotes.
Like, though, is
no.
What I do like about it, though, is one, it's a veteran, and it's not a massive commitment. And if he doesn't make the team, there's no financial issues there. There's nothing committed to him. But he played 74 games last year, which tells me that for the most part, he's healthy.
Yeah.
And he's going to be able to play, you know, the long game of the season, where you have guys like the Grizzlies of the world who can't play the entire season, where a guy like Strongman could make the team. He could be in the mix for a couple of months. These guys come back, and then the Bruins and him can make a decision on whether he's healthy scratch. Maybe he goes confidence. Maybe they cut him loose and he tries to hook on with another team. But 8 goals last year, 15 assists. He averaged 21 minutes, a little over 21 minutes with the Coyotes. Doesn't need to do that here. But and overall, this is just a low risk, not a high reward, but the biggest piece, like I said, I pulled out of that, out of him, guys, is the fact that he played 74 games. Again, they need players who's going to be able to be in there on a regular basis and not, you know, miss a ton of time with injury, which we've seen from a lot of their secondary.
Okay. Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, healthy is going to be the key this year, because you're going to be treading water up until you get Marchand, McAvoy, and some of those big names back. But, you know, if they can tread water up until then, they're in a pretty good spot going up against a tough Atlantic division. And someone just hit a home run. I don't know who. But that being said, as we start to wrap up today's podcast, I want to go over, who do you guys think is going to, coming into the season? Because, you know, there's going to have to be some some names that steps up. Who is your favorite for the guy that's going to step up the most come the first half of the season? Chris?
I think it's going to have to be Pasta. I know what we expect out of him. But I'm curious as to how he's going to play. Knowing now that you got Krejci back too. We still get the contract situation with him as well, and trying to figure out what he wants to do there. But we need him to be an elite scorer, and he should help this team while they're treading that water. But maybe you get a hot Pasternak to kind of start the season off, and some of these other players, you know, don't have to overextend themselves, and who knows what happens. But I think that putting a little more pressure on Pasta to step up is not a bad thing coming into the start of the season.
Contract here, Pasta, yeah, too.
Pasta's a good one. I'm not really worried about Pasta. I think he will. I think, like Chris just said, or Jeff just said, sorry, it's a contract year. So this guy knows he's playing to get paid. That usually elevates someone's game. I think it'll elevate his game, but he's not standing next to Bergeron. I mean, he's not standing next to Bergeron, Marchand on the same lines, playing with them for a period of time. So I think Pasta needs to kind of take over of, hey, this could be my team as well once Bergeron retires, whatever Marchand's deal is. But yeah, I think Marchand's a good one. The two guys I think are tied for me right now, because they could really make or break this season for us, is Trey Coyle and Taylor Hall. I think Taylor Hall really kind of needs to come back of, listen, I'm not this guy that's going to disappear again. I'm not this guy that's going to continue to go on hot streaks or whatever. He needs to go to that next step. And we've been saying it for probably his entire career. But I think he really needs to step up, especially in their absence. The absence of Marchand's huge. You got two young guys coming in. You got Krejci coming back. Coyle should be able to help out on the third line. That should be a huge boost if that third line can really provide some serious offensive power. Because I guess the next question I'll kind of pose to you guys, Jeff, after you give your point, but does Lysell factor in on the third line when everyone's healthy? Or are we sliding him 2, we slide him 1? What do you think the lines look like?
So So before we get to that, I'll quickly say mine is Jake DeBrusque, because he's going to be outside Bergeron. He's going to be with Bergeron on that first line, most likely during that stretch where there's no Marchand. And I want to see what he does now that he doesn't have Bruce Cassidy, that was apparently such a pain to him that he wanted a trade. But can he step up now and show us why we didn't want to trade him? Or show the doubters wrong is what I'm trying to say. He had that hot streak last season, but if he can put it together consecutively for a full season, then we can start talking. And you signed that deal. So I really want to see how he steps up. And I think he's going to be a big part of that first line, especially with Bergeron centering that still. So to pose your question again, though, where does Lysel factor in? I don't want to say the second line, because that second line is going to be Coyle, Hall, and Krejci, and that's what they've wanted, or Pastrnak, however you want to put it. You might put Pastrnak on that second line with Coyle and Hall. Krejci and Hall, I mean, who knows? But I would have to say the third line. That makes the most sense to me. But Chris, what do you say?
I would say the third line, but I don't want him on the third line not playing. It's going to sound on both sides of my mouth. I want him to be able to play significant minutes, because when you have a young player like that, having them, you know, not playing as much and sitting on the bench and maybe playing 12, 15 minutes isn't a lot of time. But I don't know if he's ready for that second line. He could impress in the preseason and make a case for that. But if they're going to put him on the roster, start on the third line. But, you know, let's see what he can do there. I'm excited that, because it feels like, you know, there's a lot of positive conversation about some of these younger players that they have, where we haven't had a lot of that over the last, you know, handful of years. Like, we know they draft in the first round, but they don't draft very well in the first round. So now, you know, if Lysel can make this team, which again, I don't know if he will, but let's say he does.
I think you kind of have to have him make the team. You know, as bad as that sounds, I think the third line is where he's going to factor in. But for the buzz and for kind of the give a little boost to this team, I think the third line is where he's going to have to factor in, especially with everyone healthy. Are you really going to move Marchand, Bergeron, Pasta? You know, are you really going to move those 3 to 5 guys off the first or second line? And it very well become a numbers game. And if you slide him in on the third line and he's not producing, send him back down to Providence, right? Like, I think the third line is kind of like that, all right, we're testing the waters with you. We're about your ninth in the lineup if it was baseball, but kind of, hey, we're not going to fully throw you into the fire, but we're going to like let you kind of ease into it and see where you go. If you handle the third line, great, great. Maybe we look at moving the lineups around a couple months into the season. If you're struggling, all right, we'll pull you back down to let your feet get back under you again and get some confidence. But I think you guys are right. I think we're all on the same page. Third line or nothing would be my.
So with that being said, as we get ready to wrap up here, final thoughts, guys, as we close out season one of Shorthanded Takes, a successful season one of Shorthanded Takes, and hopefully an even more successful season two of Shorthanded Takes coming up in just a couple weeks. Any last thoughts? Chris?
Just excited that hockey's back. We're getting in the fall football 3 weeks into now, like 25. Sports.
Yeah, right? I'll just say I'm more optimistic of this season than I was when the season ended. Don't really know why. Maybe it is just hockey coming back. But from all reports, I think this is going to be a little bit of a better season than I initially anticipated. So I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, one last ride, boys. That's what it is. That's what this is. It's the last dance all over again. It's, you know, Krejci, Bergeron, and Marchand one last time, and Pastrnak, of course. But those three specifically, the core pieces after Zdeno Chara has retired. I mean, you're looking at 1 year deals on Krejci and Bergeron. So you're looking at are we looking at a Yachty and Pujols moment here where they close it out together, or what do we do? So until then, like I said, this is the season finale of season one of Shorthanded Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast, now brought to you by and sponsored by Beyond the Monster. So when we get back, new logo, new look, new everything, new season, and, you know, hope you guys can join us along for the ride for another fun season of what should be some hopefully great hockey all around the league. For Chris Henrique, Kevin Perdios, I'm Jeff Hoke, and thank you for watching the first season of Shorthanded Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast.